All right.
Lost my water already. Hello.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Super Fun Awesome Happy Time Pedal Show podcast. Is that what we're going to call it?
Yes.
Okay.
Why not?
We're really well prepared. So we're here today with Nick. Nick from Midnight Amplification Devices.
Hey,
Nick.
How you doing?
Thanks for joining us again.
No problem.
And being a guinea pig yet again.
Yeah. Squished into the workspace.
Yeah, we're here at your workspace. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up here.
Well, moved back from Melbourne and crammed all this stuff into a tiny... It's not too small, but like it's probably like a one-man workspace. And I guess like looking to, you know, find a bigger space, but... Yeah, just smashing out pedals in here. And,
looks like there's a few in here, yeah.
Amps and stuff like that. But, I don't know. After 2.5 years, I think, now of doing this, I've realized, like, hang on, I kind of need to, like, look at this a bit objectively and, like, from a, you know, from a long-term point of view now. Like, I didn't really even think, like, I'd be looking back after 2.5 years. Like, so it's kind of just like, oh... Shit, like,
gotta do something.
yeah, like, actually been doing this for a little while now, so yeah, it's actually like really, it's awesome, like, and yeah, super humbling, like, you know, that I keep getting to do this and like work with people that I really like. So
cool, that's all. Yeah. I saw, and we should mention, by here, we're on the Sunshine Coast in good old Queensland in Australia, yeah, too. For all you folks around here.
Yeah.
just saw on Facebook, you just did some pedals and met up with Dallas Green.
Yeah, that was just unbelievable. Hey, like I was working here in the workshop on the Sunshine Coast,
Queensland, Australia.
Yeah.
World.
Yeah. and I'd only just joined Instagram, and for like years, I was like, Instagram is the devil. Like, I was like, I can't, like, it's rubbish, you know, but I joined it. And I was like, you know what? It's probably a good idea. Yeah. Like, and, I was working and I got like a notification and it was like City and Colour official, like, had started following me. And I was like, no way. Like, that alone, I was like, oh, awesome. Like, and then I just kept working and I was like, oh, you know, tell my brother or whatever later. And then, so a couple of hours went by and I checked my emails and it was like an order from Dallas Green. And I was like, nah, like, no way. Like, that's pretty coincidental. And I was like, I wasn't trying to like get my hopes up because I knew if I did that, it'd just be like kind of awkward.
No.
So I was like, nah, it's too obvious. Like, he's from Ontario, City and Colour just started following me. Like, that's crazy. So I like remember writing him an email and it's like, hey, like, thanks for the order. Just by the way, like, is this like Dallas from, you know, City and Colour and Alexis on Fire? And he's like, yeah.
Cool.
And so, yeah, it was kind of awesome. And then I built his order up, sent it out. And a few weeks, maybe like 4 or 5 weeks passed, and I got an email from him and he's like, hey, just haven't received the pedals. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, really freaking out. And because it was like $800 worth of like stock or whatever. And then so I... you know, got him to confirm his address and he actually sent me like the wrong, like his old address. And not to mention, it was also wrong. And he was like, oh shit, sorry. So I was like, look, like, I'll build you up some new stock and I'll just drop it to you when you're on tour or whatever. Cause I noticed you're coming out here. And he's like, no problem. And then, so like when I did get to meet up with him, it was like, we met up with him just like an hour or two before the Tivoli show in Brisbane. While he was doing sound check, and yeah, just hung out and just spoke pedals and gear, like actual gear for like,
yeah, cool.
That's all he wanted to do. And then like, he was like, you coming to the show afterwards or whatever? And I was like, yeah, like, let's, you know, like, would love to hang out or whatever. And then, after the show we had beers for, you know, like for a while. And yeah, just like actually just talked about vintage like Marshall amps and, you know, Jazz Masters and stuff, and like, and everyone else was kind of like, why is he talking to him, like, what's going on? And he was just like really keen, like, and I just couldn't believe like the similarities in taste in music and gear and stuff like that. It was like unbelievable to, you know, connect with someone that had like such an impact on me, like, you know, through high school and stuff like that. And then just be like, here, here's something that I made. Like, it was just kind of like overwhelming. And like, I was definitely on like a high for like, you know, a few days after that. I was just like, holy shit. Like, that's that cool. Crazy. Yeah. So,
I saw some of their set at Blues.
It was amazing. Like, they actually said, the band was like, we didn't really like the sound of Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, they don't like playing open air. Which is, I think, why they tried to pick like nicer venues on their tour. But I mean, yeah. So I don't know. Like,
sure.
I don't know what that says about. Maybe it's just sound guys. Maybe it's just their preference. But they definitely look. When I saw them at the Tivoli, they sounded amazing. So
it's a good venue though for to watch music.
Definitely, and it's like pretty intimate. Like it was really nice. I mean, actually, okay, his pedal board. Like, that was, like, when I saw it, I wasn't expecting to see a well-oiled machine.
Okay.
It was, like, incredible. Mm. And it had, like, Strymon stuff for, I think it was maybe, like, the trem and maybe a delay.
Okay.
Oh, no, I think a reverb, maybe. Okay. But there was definitely an Echo Dream 2 on there.
Okay, yeah.
For, like, the crazier stuff. But it was just so well laid out. Like, his guitar tech is like a magician.
Okay.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Oh, so the guitar tech did all that?
I believe so, yeah. Okay. If not, like, shit. Like, I don't know. But it was really, like, it was surprising. But it was great to know that, like, it wasn't just, like, an artist who had great gear but had no idea about any of it. They just, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was talking about. And I think, you know, that probably with age and money, so
it's always money always helps with that sort of stuff.
But when you're on the road touring literally around the world, you kind of have to have your stuff together, otherwise it falls apart and breaks and dies halfway through a show. And
well, like kind of they were saying how you know he uses the I think AC30s, but you know back home, like when they're playing Canada and maybe the US, they take like their personal amps everywhere, which I would do as well, like,
sure.
But yeah, it was funny, like on the ride it was like has to be like clean and working amps, like they can't, you know, because sometimes you get like a backline and it's just garbage. So yeah, I would hate to encounter something like that. That would really drive me nuts.
yeah well, I've done, I mean, nothing major, but weddings, you know, when you fly somewhere for a wedding in the backline, there'll be two amps there, and they bring in two amps because they know one of them is already not really working.
Here's an Ashton GA100.
And, and you know,
it's
like
got a picture of the tube on the front.
Literally, the skin, not on the drums. You know, stuff like that.
Oh yeah, and
that kind of stuff. It was great. Yeah. There's some. Yeah, now backline, you never rely on backline.
But yeah, look, like it was just overall like a pretty like awesome experience. I think. Like, it just kind of, I don't know, like, made me realize, like, the standards that some people have in, like, the music industry as well. Like, it was really cool. He was like, you know, you make, like, a really professional thing. And I was like, wow, I do. Like, shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I always noticed with all the, like, photos and everything on your website. Everything, it looks so clean and neat. And I'm definitely, I've got some OCD issues.
Yeah.
As a lot of musicians do, but
me too.
I just love the fact and you always showed a picture of the inside too, and how clean everything looks on the inside.
I try to be really transparent because, like, I mean, at the end of the day, someone is going to open it up.
Yeah.
And not only that, but like, I think honesty is like a really good policy. So if you're like, here's what's on the inside, people are like, okay.
No.
Like, that's not only does it look clean, it's well made, but you know, he's not like gooping anything or,
yeah, well, that's it.
You know, like,
yeah,
gooping is kind of like, it just taunts people. Like, let's do it faster. Let's, like, he's obviously got something to hide. Like, it's like
the whole clone thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the clones that goop the stuff too. So, you know, you don't. know how the clones were built. It's just stupid. But anyway.
Look, like, if you're going to do it...
Maybe a blob of glue is part of the sound.
Oh, like, okay.
It could be it. Goop. Yeah. Maybe you know, it's conductive goop.
I've heard that, like... Resistive goop. What do you call it? If you hot glue the parts, it can make it quieter, like some of the stuff. Yeah, but
is that like a pickup thing where they dip in wax?
Like the microphone, yeah, phonic kind of. Yeah, yeah. I believe so. But
I don't know. Just guessing.
Yeah, yeah. Could be. But you know, it's just funny. Like if you're gonna do it, like just sand off the parts, like part numbers, color it with like a texture or something. No one can find out. Like,
yeah. Well, I think he did both. The clone dude.
Yeah.
Didn't he sand off? Stuff,
I think so,
or rub off stuff and then goop it on top, so it's double protected.
But like, if someone really wants to go and build a big muff clone or whatever, there's stuff all over
telltale signs,
internet stuff everywhere, forums and websites, and how to get into pellet building. So if someone really wants to rip off a big muff,
they'll find a way.
It's not like it's hard to.
But like, if I see the guts of a pedal and there's four transistors, I'm like, oh, I know what that is. Or if there's two germanium ones, I'm like, I know what that is. You know, like, it's kind of obvious. Like, well, I think to most builders.
Yeah.
Like, you can be like, that's, you know, a fuzz face, or like, that's a big muff variant.
Because it's all a certain way of it's being...
Yeah, or like, just you can pick out components that people are using and, you know...
Sure.
Or like, even if someone's like renamed something and like relabeled the pots or whatever, you can still kind of figure it out based on the functions of those pots. Like,
okay.
Yeah, you can be like, oh, you know, you may have labeled it something like Dwell, but like, we know what it is. It's a mix, like, or you know, reverb or whatever. So yeah, like it's kind of funny, but yeah, it's cool. I like looking at guts.
It's great. It's I never used to, but I'm starting to when I get new pedals. Yeah. I look on the inside just for curiosity. Not that I know what I'm looking at in one way or another, but just interesting to see. How little or how much there is in some of these pedals.
Yeah.
Some are just jam-packed with stuff.
Yep.
And others have two little wires and something in there and that's it.
I think like...
mouse on a treadmill.
Yeah. There's like...
Mouse on a treadmill.
A couple of builds over there that like they're prototypes and they're like probably the biggest builds I've done.
Yeah.
But they're like jam-packed. Like, and I really love that.
Yeah.
I love seeing more in there, I think. I mean, it's kind of strange when it's quite sparse inside. Like, there's not a lot on the circuit board or whatever. You're like, is that all I paid for kind of thing? But, I think, like, with the bigger boards, you're obviously getting, like, your money's worth, I think, when you're buying a pedal like that. But
I wonder, it's all that R&D and stuff that you put into it.
Definitely.
I mean, even if it's just two little wires in there, it's still someone spent time.
Sounds like an April Fool's joke. Two little wires in there.
Well, you know. More than two.
Connect the input to the output. Ground it.
This is a very transparent pedal.
Very, very transparent. Yeah. Did you see that? There's a picture going around on Facebook. It's the most transparent pedal, and it's just two cables. There's nothing there.
It's a good one.
It's so transparent. You can't even see it.
It's like a JHS, like dad joke or something. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm a dad, so. Sorry. I do dad jokes. Backtracking now, how did you get into building? Where did you were doing a music thing first, playing, and was it Wild Child back in the days?
Yeah, and like even before then, like I was always like really interested in building, but I didn't really get it. You know, like when I was like really young, like maybe like 13 or something, I was like, you know, tried my hand, but didn't really work out, like nothing really came of it. But then I came back to it when I was like 16, 17, and I started, I think, researching the guitarist from Built to Spill, who is like on forums, like the gear page and stuff, known as Germs. And I found out that he builds all his own pedals or whatever, and they're quite like well known. And he builds like really reputable tone benders. And I was like, so Built to Spill sound really good. And he builds it. How do I do that? And then it kind of just like my curiosity was just like over the moon. Like I was just really fascinated with how that comes about. Like, you know, and then one year I was like trying to figure out what to make dad for like Christmas or something. And I was like, well, I could build him a pedal, which was it seemed kind of ambitious at the time, but then the more I looked into it, it kind of, you know, the anxiety started to drop. And I actually built like a few treble boosters in anticipation of his build, which I decided was going to be like a zonk machine, which is like a tone bender variation, which I still have.
A zonk machine?
Yeah, it's a great sounding fuzz. Like,
oh, cool.
But the treble boosters I built were the Derange Masters.
Okay, which I've got one.
Yeah.
Of the old
and ones, they were the first pedals I ever built and sold. And I built them, and I think there was like maybe 10 initially.
Okay.
And I was like, what am I going to, like, what do I do with these? Like, I just have 10. Like, why did I do this? So I was like, oh, I'll just like try and sell it on eBay. And they all sold really quickly. Some were like selling instantly.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, that's really cool. And then I did 10 more, and then another batch of 10, and they all sold. And I was like, okay, I think there's something here.
Okay.
And then, yeah, just started like developing it a bit, you know, and just kind of trying to do my own take on things initially. And then, yeah, it's just kind of grown from that. I think I try to take like a, like graphically, and with the aesthetics in mind, like a 50s, like modernism.
Okay.
It's like it looks corporate, but it's kind of like got a funny take on it, you know?
Oh,
like,
okay. Yeah.
Like the undersole is like computer earth signal locator. Like it's like a phaser vibrato, but like it's just kind of like the cheeky, like, and I think, you know, it all looks like very sleek, and
it does. Yeah. I love the knobs too, actually. Those knobs look great.
Yeah, all like I try to, no matter what like I'm doing, I try to make it look like me or whatever, and I hope that always comes across in all the builds that I'm doing, but yeah, a lot of it definitely comes from that, like, bold, like, almost Dada-esque, like, design from the 50s. And, yeah, I like that. I think,
I think the first time I came across this stuff, I didn't even know it was you. Yeah. Because, I mean, I've known Nick from, I don't know how old you were when I met you, but it's, you were quite young.
Yeah, like, probably 15, maybe 14, 15.
14, 15.
Yeah.
I used to work at a music shop here at Noosa, and Nick used to come and get lessons off... our mutual friend Ben McGregor, Ben McShredder. anyway, we're probably going to do a podcast with him at some stage too, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, I think I found
the Shredder edition.
The Shredder, the Shredder edition.
insert like.
We were actually just talking about him before we started recording. How he used to do acoustic duo gigs. With one guy, I used to sit there with an acoustic guitar playing and singing, and Ben used to bring two full stacks.
I'll never tire of that. Like, I'll never tire of that image. Like.
To run a stereo rig for an acoustic duo. Anyway. I think I saw the first, was it, I think it was the Omen.
Yeah.
That you made. And I didn't even know it was that, I knew, I read Midnight Amplification Devices. Yep. But it didn't sort of click that it was you.
Okay,
and
so
I saw the pedal and I went, "Oh, that looks so cool!" And I went to your website and listened to the demos of it.
Yeah.
And then I kind of went, "Hang on, Nick Bellow? I know Nick Bellow. I wonder if it's the same Nick Bellow."
I don't think there's any other Nick Bellow in the world. I've tried searching; nothing really comes up. Yeah. But that actually brings me to like another thing, and it's like, I don't know about you guys, but it kind of annoys me when it doesn't really annoy me, but it kind of seems like a bit of a cop out when people use their name as their business name. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Like, I get it. Yeah. You know, it's you and it's your brand, but like, it's 2016. Like, you could do, you can literally call it anything. Like, and I definitely didn't want to associate like my name or myself with the brand or anything.
We'll,
like,
we'll edit it out later on.
Yeah. But like, I'm happy, like, you know, if people are like, oh yeah, he builds Midnight or whatever, but people are like, so how long have you worked for midnight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, people do that all the time. And I'm like, no, that's just me. Like,
yeah. I am.
I really like that. But I think people still go down the whole, like, Fender, you know, and route. And it's just like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like, you know, there's so much creativity and, like, it just, it's got to be catching. And I thought midnight was pretty.
But oh yeah, I think it's great, and the logo and I mean, aesthetically, it all looks great. Because we're looking here as well, because not just that you're doing pedals, you've now diversified into building cabs, and they're available now to purchase.
Yeah, it's all look, mid-year they will be available, like, on the website, just to churn out. But at the moment, it's all just custom made to order stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, like, that'll be when set up in a new space, I believe. So,
okay.
Yeah. But yeah, love building the cabs. It's like,
and amps.
Yeah, and amps. loud amps.
Loud amps.
Haven't really built anything lower than 100 watts.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Do they crunch up, or are they clean, or are they both? Or
so they do, but your ears will probably bleed. Like, that's like.
Excellent.
Mean, this one, you've got, like, your preamp controls.
Three preamp, did you say?
You've got, like, two preamp controls that you can jumper, and you've also got your master, but this has only got a master. So, we're actually talking about two separate amps here.
There'll be photos and stuff that we'll put up, and a little video we'll do later on.
Takes high quality photos on the phone.
Yeah. On the potato. Yeah. But look, like, for the music that I play, and a lot of the people that I guess sell gear to play, most people are looking for clean amps.
Mm.
I mean, people have, like, you know, been like, could you do a 2-channel one with a high gain? And I'm like, nah, not really interested. Like, I mean, you could just go out and buy, like, a rectifier or something, you know, like, but yeah, for me, like, I just want to do, like, the big clean thing really well.
Mm. Clean with character. That's
yeah.
The best baseline of what I always.
We've talked about this between us, how there's all different types of clean too.
Yeah.
And that clean doesn't mean clean.
No.
All the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the whole world of that thing going on too.
So I've recently, like, for my live rig, I normally have the preamps, like, running a little hot, like, just to give it a little bit of drive. But at the moment, I've, like, taking that right back, so it's, like, very clean. And I'm just, like, I don't know, I've fallen in and out of love with the really clean sound. Okay. I think because often it can feel quite, like, sterile and stale.
Yeah.
But, you know, you use a pedal or something to excite it a little bit, and, you know, you've got something new again. But,
well, it's there.
Yeah.
It's just a good platform to, you know, to put pedals into. I mean, that's what...
Yeah.
That's what I'm all about.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you can just use a pedal for the high gain thing.
Exactly right.
Like, I mean, it kind of, I don't know, feels limiting. Not, like, because, I mean, I don't want to stack pedals on top of a high gain channel, you know, so that kind of seems limiting. But if I can do the high gain on a clean channel, that seems the most obvious choice.
But then you can get flavors of gain too. So, whether you use distortions or fuzzes or...
Exactly.
Drives into distortions or...
I use, like, a mix. Yeah. And that's... I don't know. I really like stacking.
At the moment,
I'm using, like, the Giant Sound, which is the Sun Model T preamp that I built. And that is, like, the foundation tone of the live stuff. And that is, like... It can go from, like, very clean, subtle boost to, like, full kind of fuzz. But I'm just using it as kind of like a drive, a very light, sparkly kind of drive. And then the Host Moon does, like, all the heavy lifting.
Heavy stuff.
Yeah. But, like, I was talking with the band the other day. We were just, like, you know, trying different stuff between, like, going from dirty to fuzz or clean to fuzz. And... We notice that the dynamic is often, like, much, like, it's greater if you go from, obviously, very clean to the fuzz. Really, so, like, that's kind of why, you know, hard the amp sound back to the clean as opposed to the light drive or whatever on the preamp. So, I mean, yeah, I guess like having that flexibility is obviously the beauty of building amps like that. But, and yeah, it's really appealing to me, but you know, each to their own. Some people just want to play speed metal and have their gain up to like 11 Woo-hoo! Or whatever. And that's cool as well.
Yeah,
like,
metal zones are pretty cheap these days.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly, man.
Conversation always comes back to the metal zone in one way or another.
So,
when is it? Come on, Boz. The metal zone was a craft. Come on, bring that out. Yeah. Waiting for that one. They just brought the Wazzacraft tuner out.
I think.
I mean, come on.
The Metal Zone Wazzacraft will have extra fizz. It'll have like a fizz knob.
A fizz knob.
Yeah. Or like you hold it down and it just fizzes. Like that's.
Hey, I'm buying that. So I was going to ask you if you were could make me a custom fizz pedal, but okay. Well, if that's your attitude, then
just white noise. Like, yeah,
it's good. It's just two cables and some goop.
Yeah.
So with your board on the floor here,
yep.
Is this the board you use live?
And yeah.
With your band?
Yep.
Which is pretty cool because it's all your pedals except for the tuner and a boss.
Yeah, so normally I do have a delay that I built for myself, but which is like a prototype that will come out at some point this year.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's currently, you know, out being tested by some friends and stuff. So, which I'll get back. And, you know, I like hearing feedback and then keep going and stuff like that. But basically, it's just like tuner and then giant sound. At the moment, I'm testing the undersole between that and the host moon. The host moon goes into the super chorus and then that goes into a delay, which is currently the DD7. Yep. And then, yeah, straight into a really loud amp. And yeah, that's it. Like,
yeah, cool.
It's pretty simple.
It's the host moon that's the heavy drive.
It's a heavy fuzz.
Fuzz.
Yeah, it's got, look, like, it's the most tweakable fuzz that I build, but it's like, I don't know. I really only use it for one setting, but in the studio, actually, I do use it for multiple things. Like it kind of just sounds like a distortion a lot of the time, but it does have fuzz characteristics. But it's not like that gated kind of sticky fuzz. Okay, it's heavy and rich and yeah, I really like it. So that's like the main fuzz sound in the band. So
cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, and then so amp into 412, and that's the live rig, or like in the studio, the 212, and because I don't really want to lift a 412 into the studio all the time. So, yeah, but I'm happy with the board. There's still a lot of space on there. But yeah, that board is actually a prototype for, you know, doing pedal boards as well, so for Midnight.
Track as well. Oh, look at that.
It all actually, it fits together really nicely. It's all made on a CNC, and then yeah, just kind of glue it together and yeah, it's cool. But awesome. Yeah, it's still tweaking the pedal board kind of design because I think, like, obviously people don't really want a board that size all the time, so it's like adding, you know, different the sizes, small, medium and large, and then for the freaks as yourself, they're extra large.
The extra large, yeah.
people
with problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Built-in trolley. Yeah, built-in trolley is very important.
Yeah, like wheels or something. Yeah, that could be actually kind of handy.
Suitcase handle that comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's actually, if Pedal Train's listening, I'm currently using the Pedal Train, not that they're going to listen, but Pedal Train 3.
You never know.
When you're very tall, I find, because it has wheels on it, but it doesn't have the handle doesn't pull out. When you're very tall, it's not...
you look like an ape.
Well, no, and you keep hitting your foot on it.
Yep.
It's because it's not high enough. So Pedal Train, extendable handles, please, for tall people.
That's like really bad luggage. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you're at the airport and you're like trying to make
and
the gate.
And you keep kicking it and it keeps...
And you're tripping yourself open and it's like, yeah.
That's it. Flailing
it's
come on, everywhere. Pedal Train. Yeah. Get with it. Jesus. There's a whole market... That, you know.
Yeah, for people over 6 foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or over 6'5".
Yeah.
That's still over 6 foot.
Like some freaks, yeah. Cool. So you're basically playing, and I mean the guitar you've got over there, that's sort of it's a parts guitar too that you put together yourself.
Yeah, it's just a Jazzmaster with nice Lola pickups in it.
So you're playing basic guitar you made through pedals you made into an amp you made into cabinets you made.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty everything, good.
Everything I did, which is, yeah, I was like loading gear in for a gig or something a few weeks ago, and I was like, this is all my gear. Not only is it all my gear, but it's like I built this.
You made
like,
it all.
It's
that's
really
great.
Yeah, like
that's
it's
awesome.
It's kind of weird, but like I feel really comfortable with my guitar sound. Like I feel like I think before having my own gear, I always felt like something was missing, or like I couldn't really lock it in or anything like that. I was always like, oh, you know, maybe it might sound better like this way or whatever. And I had, like, I used to have a few Laney AORs and stuff like that, which I kind of bought just simply for the fact that, like, a lot of heavier bands had used them, like Sleep and stuff like that. But I honestly, like, whilst I loved it, it wasn't for me. And I think being able to tweak my own amps to what I like, it's rewarding, but it's like satisfying to know that you're like, okay, I sound like this because I did it. It's probably like, I don't know, maybe that's an ego thing. I hope not.
No, but I mean, it's the great thing is because I guess you know what you want and you know how to achieve what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's the same thing. You buy a Fender amp, you buy a Laney amp. Whoever made it, they made it to, I guess, to a certain degree, what is good
sort of
works
yeah.
for them to
well,
a certain
like,
degree.
That's the weird thing. Like, it's not like, you know, there's no R&D team here. And
no.
There's no like...
Well, you are the R&D
team. Exactly. So it's like, it's literally just like... Anyone who buys something from me, they're buying it because, like, I like not like, oh, you know, 20 people sat down in a room over 7 months and they thought, well, like, this sounds good. No, this sounds better. Like, it's just me being like, yeah, I like that. Yeah. Like, and that's still weird to me, you know, that people, you know, like, there's just, like, pedals here just going out the door every day. Because I like the sound of it. Like, it's not... Yeah, I never really build anything that I don't like.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be able to stand behind everything that I...
Well, that's the thing, I guess. If you wouldn't like it, you wouldn't put the effort into it to a certain degree. Like, you've got more kind of your heart in it when you,
exactly.
if you like it.
I mean, like, I don't even... Like, everything just feels really natural to me. Like, I don't... I'm not, like... There's no part that's kind of... like stumped me or anything like with Bill, like it just all feels really from the heart and like honest and like built with care and love and like that's really important to me, like especially in like a small business or whatever, like it needs to feel genuine and
that kind of applies to anything, not just music gear too.
Definitely. Like I completely agree. I think I just, you know, I have this opportunity to help people make their sound, like
it's really cool.
it's like it's really nice, you know, and like really awesome. So yeah, I take it seriously. Like I don't take myself seriously, but what I do, sure. Like and like I don't know, it's kind of funny. Like I saw Tim, like from Tim's Guitars, or he got the cease and desist for building all these big muds.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's not allowed to make them anymore. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He
can't do them anymore.
Well, I think he can't do the graphics anymore.
Oh, okay. Is it just... okay.
Yeah, I think that's...
Is it the name mud, too, that it's too close to muff?
Yeah,
it's
that. And it's also, you know, the graphics that...
Yeah.
The exact same.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, like, fine. Like, I get it, right? But I also, what confuses the hell out of me is why Electroharmonix continues to make the bare box aluminium pedals in the same enclosures with like really not very nice look. Like there's nothing wrong with the art, but it's not catching.
No.
I mean, like all they have to do is literally, like they just reissue all the old muffs.
Yeah.
And they'd make a killing.
Yeah. No.
But it, for some reason, they're just going around and like,
just
you know,
design,
cease and desist everyone who does it. It's like, just do it. Like, I'd go buy a reissue, you know, 77 IC Moth. Like, who wouldn't? Like, you know, like, so.
Well, this is where
it's kind of weird.
I think one of the only kind of sort of bigger brands that started to kind of get it to a certain degree is Boss.
Yeah.
That whole Wasacraft thing.
Yeah.
Because there's all these people buying the old one, ridiculous prices for the old pedals and modded versions of it. And they kind of went, you know what? There's a market there.
Yeah.
Let's get in there. Even though I don't get the Wasacraft tuner, but I mean, that's a different story. But,
people have been modding their tuners.
Yeah. Really?
No.
The old Keeley tuner mod.
There's tuner 441.
I've heard things about 441.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they gooped them too. The tuner.
Yeah, mods, yeah, yeah.
So you don't know what
to do. Keeley machine heads.
God. But yeah, look, like.
But I mean, they're making a killing now. And the big comeback with that whole Wasacraft thing. I mean, Electro and Monix could do exactly the same. But instead of just going around and telling everyone to stop doing it.
And releasing really
weird stuff.
In my opinion, like, I don't know, it seems kind of weird, like, the
keyboard stuff and
that's okay, like, cool, like, I think that's useful, and it's
the Mellotron one, the latest one.
Yeah,
I think they're cool.
I think they're
thinking outside the box.
Like, definitely, and I think, like, electroharmonics have, like, led the industry.
Oh yeah, yeah,
I love
electroharmonics.
Yeah, yeah,
iPads. I've got lots of them, so yeah, they're awesome.
But like. Yeah, I think, you know, a little bit more thought and like, or love, you know, could go into the graphics and boxes and stuff. I think to me, it just like, because obviously I build and everything, it looks like, from my point of view, a cost and time versus profit kind of thing.
Oh, of course. Like most things.
Yeah. When it gets music, huge, you know? Yeah. So,
think even with all that, because I mean, now they put all their old pedals into the smaller enclosures and
they do it into the 1590 BB,
you'd think they could have changed the way it looks a little bit, but it's the same look, it's that same.
The fact that they're not even powder coated and it's just printed onto the aluminium, maybe it's just like this OCD thing where I don't like the feel of that aluminium when you touch it. I don't like it. So, for me, I'm like, you know, you could just powder coat your stuff. It'd look way cooler. Like, I don't know, any of those pedals with a base color would look like a million bucks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. No. Electroharmonics, if you're listening.
Sorry, Mike Matthews.
Yeah.
He just bit through his cigar.
Stogie.
Let's go to Australia. Let's get these guys.
That being said, when I watched him do the demo.
When he played the piano.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. Man, that was awesome.
Like one of the coolest things. I was like, this guy loves what he's doing.
Yeah.
And this guy rules. Like, so. Yeah, nothing against. Like,
oh, no. I love electroharmonics. Yeah. But, you know, definitely one of the sort of innovators in the world of effects pedals. And
I think they did some weird stuff, though. Like, they did, like, you know, the LPB one, like the boost.
Yeah.
But then they did, like, the bass boost. And it kind of just makes your thing sound really muddy. Like, it's just like a mud boost. It's like. I don't know, and that, like, sometimes I'll search, like, unknown electroharmonics kind of.
There's so much stuff that you never heard of. That
I'm like, what is
put
this?
Put it for 6 months in '94 or something.
Yeah, like, or like even the '70s and '80s stuff. I'm like,
there's tons of stuff. Yeah, the stuff. And you go, I've never heard of that before. Yeah. And
which is cool too.
Yeah, like, I love that.
They just experiment and try things.
And I love the designs as well, especially the forgotten ones. They look really cool. Like.
The clone theory is one that I always liked. It looked really cool.
Yep, the big ones.
When you stop on whole things, flexes.
Oh, and they did like a drum, like a tap thing.
They just reshoot that again as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh god.
The whatever it's called.
And that is powder coated because it's white.
Might have to go to the music store then.
Yeah, they just reshoot a bunch of them. Is there one of them? Is there two different ones? I don't remember, but there's a couple of them.
Yeah, I think there's two because
just a button.
There's a crash pad and drum pad or something.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. For that '80s kind of
If you want to redo the intro music to Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
You know, something that I saw the other day was like all like the limited way huge stuff. It looks really cool. I don't really know anything about it, but it looks
pretty
cool. Way
Huge is one of those companies that I never heard of before until all the reissues came out, and then everyone went, oh man, they were so good back in the 90s.
Yeah,
and
right.
Some of them go for insane amounts of money.
Mm.
What's that one? There's like a, it's a two in one. Is it the camel toe or something?
Yeah, yeah,
like
the camel toe. Yeah.
And it goes for ridiculous amounts of money. And then there's people on Facebook where they gaffer tape two of them together and it's the same thing.
That's awesome.
Because I think it's two, I don't know whatever they, which ones they are, but it's two of the same drive, I think, or something like that. Or maybe two different.
Like the Red Llama or something like that.
One, I never heard of them, but everyone is like, oh man. That
something that I heard like when I was like growing up and like learning about guitar and pedals and stuff, it like the one pedal of theirs that I always heard of was like the Swollen Pickle,
and I was
that's a funny name, like, and it was, and it's always stuck. Yeah, exactly, like it's always stuck with me. I'm like, yep, that's a great name for a pedal. Like,
well, it's got some interesting names, is it?
Yeah,
was it the Aquapus? And
it's all very tongue-in-cheek,
which
I like. And it's got that 70s corporate looking design, like it's like quite serious, but then it's got, you know, Aquapus and like Swollen Pickle. I love that. That's like so funny to me.
Yeah.
That like the, so it's not even the name that's funny. It's for me, and this is just how I am, like that you can just print like Swollen Pickle on like a pedal and people will take it seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can buy that in a store. Man. Oh dude, like we just got a new shipment of Swollen Pickles. Like.
And you have a bunch of really manly men sitting around. Yeah. Oh, man.
Exactly.
Swollen Pickle, mate.
And it's just
come out the back room and I'll show you this. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, you want to see my Swollen Pickle?
I've got an Aquapus ready to go. Like, I mean, it's stuff that is like really funny. Like, it's not just like, you know, I think the standard like distortion or like... Yeah. You know, fuzz box. It's like Swollen Pickle.
Go back to the
Aquapus.
The boss world. You know, DS1 distortion,
which always killed me. You know, I was like, oh god, like DD7. Like, why do you mean? Like,
well, you can tell it's
help
it's
me
a,
out.
You can tell it's a board of people that have no idea about most of the stuff that sit together and just go.
We should call our new pedal T7357-alpha.
Well, it's a digital delay, so DD, and is it? I don't think there were seven of them though.
No,
because they skipped version six. I think was it DD6?
There's three.
There's a five.
Is there a five?
Yeah. I don't know if there was a six.
I've never heard of a one.
No, well, that would be just probably the DD
prototype. DD. Yeah. Boss Double D.
Boss Double D. Yeah, see? Yeah. Oh, well, there you go.
Maybe they were like, we can't do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some very serious Japanese businessman was sitting around going, oh, cannot. Sorry, I'm not going to do Japanese. No.
Speaking of which, I'm actually going to Japan in July.
Ah,
I'm like...
Great place.
Going to be hunting for an RE-201, like an original.
Yay.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's like the thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah, well, I'm like, that's what I'm looking for, but I'm sure I'll see a million other things. And I'm like, I have to have this. And like...
Have you ever been there?
No, this
is
the first time.
It's a weird and wonderful place because they love all the old American stuff.
Excellent.
They don't like their own
Japanese
stuff.
Yeah, I've heard
that. They love all the old American stuff, but if it's not pristine, it's not good.
Yeah, right.
It's you walk into these shops just filled, complete, like beyond anything you've ever seen in Australia, with vintage gear, ridiculously expensive vintage gear, and it all looks brand new, pristine, because they don't like it when it's scratched and it has to look perfect.
Jesus. I'm actually, I'm really excited to see all those stores. Like, I'm just,
It's a mind spin, Japan. It's a weird place. But
we should go for a recon mission.
We should. Now,
you should do the videos and podcasts there as well. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I'm up for it.
My girlfriend's always keen to go.
Cool. I won't tell the wife and kids.
I'll just
after a few days. Where is he?
Check back on the podcast. Oh, he said he was going to Japan.
Sorry, wife and kids.
Hang on a second.
No, I'd love to go back there. It's a great. Yeah. I've only ever been to Tokyo. I haven't been anywhere else. But there's this two districts just full of guitar shops.
Yep.
And very unassuming. It's just. I remember this one place. It's just a sign, probably as big as your speaker cab.
Yep.
Just Japanese writing and a guitar on it, and an arrow pointing down, and there's like an escalator going down. Very unassuming, and you walk in, and it's just like a gigantic warehouse. It's like Bunnings, but just full of guitars. Bunnings is like a hardware shop. Oh, it almost is like that. It literally almost is like that. And you go, and like every model PRS guitar, every Gretsch, every Gibson, every Fender, in every color. In this one shop, it was like 6 or 7 stories. It's amazing.
I'm going to go now.
one of the levels was pretty much all just pickups. It was like a wall as big as most shops you go into here that have like a wall of where you just have guitars. Like, this is the Fender range. It was just pickups.
It kind of makes me uncomfortable. You know, like, it's just like...
It's insane. It really is insane. It's overkill. It was insane. Sorry, I'm getting all excited talking about it. But it literally was. I felt like a 5-year-old running around and just giggling at everything. Yeah, the only weird thing is about picking guitars up, and they're all completely out of tune.
I heard that. Like, they're not... And they'll tune it for you or whatever. Like,
they'll tune it and set it up for you.
Yeah.
But you have to ask to get it off the wall. It's amazing. And
that's awesome.
Guitars, amps, vintage gear, everything you want.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of scared. What I'm going to... Yeah. Like, definitely the Space Echo. I'm sure I'll find
3
one.
Of them.
Like, yeah.
Thank you.
We'll buy you a suitcase to bring it back on.
Yeah. Just for the Space Echo.
Just for the Space Echo.
But yeah, I'm sure, like, I'll see some vintage stuff that I'll be like, I think I need this now. Like, I'm probably just going to be looking for offsets and weirder stuff. So,
yeah.
It's the stuff that really appeals to me. So,
They love their Moserites and stuff over there too, I went through a big phase with them. It's a trippy place. They just do, and again, I've only been there for like a week, but it seems that they do everything. If they do something, they just do 110%, take it to the extreme. There is no medium.
That's what I want to hear.
It's just extreme.
Yep.
And don't make the mistake of going into sorry, this is turning into a travel show.
Super fun travel tips.
If you go into the subway,
guitar travel.
You think that they're very organized and, you know, they'll queue up, but they don't. They just all just fight to get into the subways. But always used to try to get into, because it just always chockers. Mm. And then there was one carriage that was almost empty, and we were running. We're just trying to catch a train, and we're like, oh, excellent. And we sat down, and everyone looked at me just really weird. And I sort of looked around, and this is with my wife, and we were looking around and going, you know what? You're the only guy in here. And it was a female-only carriage, because apparently there's a lot of groping going on in the subway systems. But they're all too polite to say anything. So I was sitting in this carriage, the only guy, 6'5", big, very, very white guy.
Big friendly giant.
A big giant in amongst all these little Japanese ladies who all kind of looked at me like in horror, but were too polite to say anything or do anything.
Is there like a fine involved? Or?
Well, we went out, got out and squished into the next carriage. But it was only tiny. It was like, you know, tiny little sign on the door saying in Japanese and in English, a female-only carriage.
Right. That's
good to
know.
Which we didn't notice. But yeah, so if they look at you strange.
So if there's a carriage with no one in there, don't go in it.
With only women
in
kimonos and stuff who look at you strange.
Yeah. Yes,
you know why. So you heard it here, guys.
Yeah.
So where else would we like to travel, guys?
Oh, heaps of places.
Yeah, I think it's funny, I always talk about we, like, with the business, but it's just me.
Because how long have you worked for?
Chicago Music Exchange like placed a massive order or whatever. And
Really? Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But that is somewhere I really want to go. Yeah. That store looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
That, like, every time I see photos, I'm like, that's just it's candy. It's insane.
That's how you do a shot. Mate.
Yeah, yeah, that's how you do
it. I wonder if they're going to do those cool reverb, because I mean, it's the same reverb, and,
yeah.
and
yeah.
they're going to do those cool demos that they do with the lamps in the background and stuff.
That would be
stuff.
Really
That'd
cool.
be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have no idea, but it would be awesome.
That's great, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, that like, it totally, it kind of took me by surprise, but I mean, it's been good. Been getting, like, distributors, like, all the time now, so.
Cool.
Just got one in Indonesia, which is like,
okay,
yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but apparently it's like one of it is Indonesia's biggest music effects and guitar distributor, which I didn't know they
even had one
distributor. So I mean, that's my ignorance, but yeah. like, yeah, that's, it's really cool, like, that, you know, I can just go to another country and like look in their shop and
oh look, that's, there's my pedals there,
like the people that I,
we made that,
yeah,
we
yes, we, me and the boss,
like, me and the boss, yeah. and the two slack employees that always go for a smoker.
sexy tricking.
Yeah, but like the guy that I deal with in Japan, he works for like LEP International, which is like this Japanese company that literally distributes to every music store in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is like crazy to me. Like, so I may even see like my own, if I get through like a level of yeah. effects or whatever on one of those stores. But yeah, like I might even see my own pedals there, which is like, to me, like that's crazy.
Well, there's a, I'm friends with him on Facebook. There's a guy, what's his name? Jason, I think. He's a guy, an Australian guy from the Gold Coast,
yep.
who's now one of the main dudes in the English-speaking thing in one of the biggest shops in Tokyo.
Yeah, right.
And he does all their web stuff too, because he speaks, I guess, fluent Japanese and English.
Yep.
But yeah, he's an Australian guy from the Gold Coast who lives over there. And, so, you know, there's someone to talk to as
well. Well, I might have to hit Jason up.
I think his name is Jason.
If it's your not, first sorry. Mistake.
Oh, he'll be on. You're going to go, can I talk to Jason?
Oh, not Jason. No.
Just get to the airport in Japan. Do you know Jason?
Yeah.
Oh, it was Bob. Sorry. Yeah.
Or is it right. Dave? Could be Dave.
Gavin?
Yeah. I mean, no, like,
I'm friends with him on Facebook. I'll check on my. What did I do on the phone? Oh, there's my phone. I'll
like, check later on. It me? Still trips me out when I walk into Tim's or something. And there's like pedals in there. I'm like, oh, like I think, you know, like that's mine. Like actually, when the band and I, we were recording like a little project with Tim's, it was like a cover of the Jesus and Mary Chain Psycho Candy for the anniversary. And Tim selected like 14 bands to do covers.
Oh,
or whatever.
I remember that. Yeah.
And we did a track and we were in there, and as we were loading out after we'd finished, there was a guy in there who was like, can I play that big riff? And I was like walking out and I heard it, and then I like load, you know, put the gear in the car, and then I was walking back in and I like couldn't help myself, but I was like, I built that. Like, he was like, oh, really? And he's like,
sure.
Kind of weirded out that it was me, like, because I mean, like, we didn't look all that different, we were probably the same age or whatever, and he was just like, that's weird, like, yeah, but it was just like, I had to tell him. So nerdy, like.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know, it's definitely a trip, you know, being able to see people play my gear or like see it in a store or something. It's yeah,
especially going overseas, they'll be ultra trippy.
Yeah.
And especially a place
that.
Like Chicago Music Exchange. I mean,
yeah.
I'd love to go and check that out. That's these big, because there's a few of them now in America. These sort of flagship stores that they do.
Yeah. I think I'm not sure. Is Rogue Guitar? I think is one. They're pretty big.
There's a couple of them now. I know.
Yeah, look, Chicago, New York, LA. All like have stores that I want to check out. So I mean,
there was in New York. There was a shop. It was a secondhand shop. Guitar shop, and I wanted to go inside, but you had to pay like a cover charge to go inside.
Really?
So there was like the guy was saying it was a thing on the door. You had to pay like, I can't remember how much it was, but it was like $2 or $5 to go into the secondhand shop to look at guitars, not buy anything, just to go in.
What was the reasoning behind that?
I have no idea. I don't think we ended up going in there. It was a bit of a weirdo too. It was a bit of a weirdo too.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those little shops. I don't even remember where New York, but it was just one of those things where you walk around and all of a sudden you see, oh, look at that. And there's, in amongst, I don't know, maybe just where people live, just in amongst houses and stuff, there's this sort of, you go down a few steps, sort of, not basement, but not ground level, but sort of in between. And it had all guitar, like vintage looking guitars in it. I was like, oh, cool, let's go in there. And then they go, oh, no, you got to pay. And it was a sign on the door. I don't know why.
That's strange, yeah.
And it was a bit weird, and then we didn't go in there, I think. But
got a vibe.
There are places like, that's some strange place. Anyway.
That's cool.
Should we hear some of your pedals?
Yes, let's do that.
Sure.
Oh, this has almost been an hour.
Wow, that's...
55 minutes.
That's pretty long.
Well, let's do that before we wind up.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's four of your pedals on the board that you've...
We'll take a photo of the board. Yeah. Or actually, we'll do... Should we do... And I will do that separately later. We'll do a video section of it later.
Well, yeah.
Sure.
I'm easy. Whatever you guys would like to do. That's the clean, I guess.
Nice.
So you're running through your amp and your cab.
Yep.
We're miking that cab. So what's the amp called?
It's...
Can you see from here?
It's like an... unreleased prototype, so
it looks really good.
Probably change like a fair few things about it, but yeah, this is like I use that amp live, so people have seen it, but I'm trying to keep it on the down low. But
is it one of those that shows, don't look at it,
hang like a cloth over it or something. But basically...
Take a photo of it and make it blurry and put it in front of it.
It's
pixelated.
It's I don't know, it's a four... Let's just say it's a four input, two preamp channel amp. With a, I don't know, a master as well. So we'll just say that.
Okay.
And then it's going through a 212, I think with the... Warehouse guitar speakers equivalent of the vintage 30s. Can't remember what the veteran 30s, I think.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Do you like those?
Yeah, I love Warehouse guitar speakers. Yep. I think they sound better than vintage 30s to me. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I'm a massive advocate. So yeah. And then just going through a Jazzmaster and whatever pedal we decide to play through. But
sure.
Well, let's go right to left. So let's hit a tuner first.
Well, the polytune.
I'm sorry, the polytune.
Okay,
has that been gooped as well?
This is the giant sound. And everything is pretty much at noon. So like midway on the pot. It has a master volume and two like gain, so you can basically, instead of having like two inputs or a blend or anything, I just decided to have the two channels controlled like on the pedal like that.
Okay.
So you can get like quite a heavier kind of sound out of it.
And is that the one that's based on the, is that the Sun amp?
Yeah, so this is the Sun Model T preamp.
Sun Model T, that's what
So do two of the, both channels, do they have different tones or?
Yeah, so one is a bright and one is like a normal, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
Like an amp.
So gain two is the, yeah, exactly. Gain two is the bright. And that will give you a bit more of like a top end bite to your sound. So, I mean, it's really, it's capable of like a lot. Like that's everything up. We'll be right back. So it's, I mean, the range is pretty usable, especially for a preamp. And
so how do you use it when you use it? How would you?
Probably a little bit more driven than that. So,
okay. That's the thing we were talking about before, that kind of giving character to the clean tone.
It's clean, but it's not.
It has a little bit of breakup there.
Exactly. So a lot of the time I'll leave that on. And then, so if we move left in on the board, there's the undersole, which is an unreleased phaser. Which is, I mean, it's still in, like, tweaking, I guess. I mean, like, it's 99% done. I'm just, like, you know, playing around with some things. But I really like how it sounds. And it's not like, you can do the vibrato thing. But it's not that it's really subtle, but it's more usable than, like, the really big swooshing, annoying kind of sweep thing, but
almost a bit univibe-ish.
Yeah.
Well, they're kind of all the same anyway. Phaser univibes.
So
one of the knobs is the depth and one of them is the speed.
Right. And then the switch is a vibrato switch. So.
Okay. Oh, so you go from phaser to vibrato. Okay. I love vibrato.
All honesty, it's probably more, for me, a studio tool than something live. Like, I would use a phaser live because it's a bit more pronounced. But I really like the vibrato.
It's cool.
But yeah, so I'm really happy with how it sounds.
It sounds great.
It's simple.
Can you combine the two?
I haven't put a switch, but yeah, I've definitely considered.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's just me.
Yeah.
That's just the silly noises guy that I am.
There is a couple of silly noise ideas for that pedal, but I haven't finalized.
Okay,
yet.
Cool.
So,
cool.
Yeah. So
it'll keep you happy.
Host Moon, that's being quite noisy for some reason. Probably some kind of power supply or something like that. It sounds like a phone, maybe.
Could be us, yeah. Sorry.
Oh. Maybe, I don't know. Look. But basically, it's like my main fuzz, and it's... Yeah, I really like it. It's pretty fun.
Sounds great.
Cool. It's pretty heavy. It doesn't need to be heavy, though. If you change the input impedance, it comes down.
Okay.
All right.
If you change the diode clipping, you bring the volume back up.
Huge scope.
Yeah. So then you've also got a treble and bass knob.
Okay.
So it's like a backs stack, which for me is really useful because I like to add like a little bit more bite.
Okay. No.
Like comes through a bit more. It's like,
so is that something you would stack with the...
With the giant sound?
The giant sound, sorry.
Yeah. I'm
not familiar with that language.
Japanese.
Sorry.
So normally I would stack them together and I mean... Yeah, it's like a really biting kind of fuzz, but it can also do the really like beefy, woofy kind of thing as well. I needed to cut through like the bass player, so I have it dialed like that. And then on the end is the super chorus, which
sounds great. In
all honesty, I don't really use it a lot. I'll use it in sometimes live in like quieter passages to add, you know, a strange depth to something or Yeah, it just adds like this nice feeling, I guess.
Again, it's a character that it adds to.
The mix knob is really handy on that because you can dial in completely wet or completely dry.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Obviously, I have it in the middle to give it that sound.
Bit of both, yeah.
But you can do the really like.
That sounds really like something extreme. More like what I would do. Yes.
Like you can do that, or you know, there's some pretty cool sweeping stuff, I guess.
That's kind of cool. I like that sound. That's a cool sound.
So yeah, it's all like, it's definitely like a pretty standard pedal board setup. I mean, for like rock music or whatever, but it definitely has its own thing about it.
Hmm.
Initially, the board was just for a demo board or whatever. Like I just put like whatever products on
just
there.
Just to take and, to places cool. to show, yeah. No.
But... it just kind of turned into my live rig and I like what's on there. I think if I had, you know, like 8-10 pedals on there, it'd be overkill to play live. Me anyway, I just feel like too much of a devil's dance. but yeah, I mean, I think last night when I was playing with the Undersoul, like the Phaser, I stuck it in the middle because it was like a free spot. But normally I'd probably have it after the fuzz.
Okay.
To pronounce like the fuzz. But yeah, I mean like in the middle, it's kind of cool as well. But yeah, all my modulation and time stuff goes at the end normally.
That's one of those age old things that where do you put it? I tend to modulation. I always put it in front.
Yeah. Right.
And then all the time stuff after.
Yep.
But yeah. That's everyone's different, I guess, in that.
I think
it depends if you want it more pronounced or less pronounced.
Yeah. Yeah, for me it's like I just want it really obvious that it's on kind of thing. Yeah.
Which actually I'm like that too, but I don't know. Anyway.
Just like wheels are turning.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm gonna redo my whole pedal board now.
Damn it.
Look, it happens at least, you know, every few months for me.
I do it all the time too, yeah.
Well, yeah, when I look, I haven't bought a new pedal in a long time, but yeah, when I build something new, I'm like, where should this go? So yeah, it's pretty fun.
So do you ever build, because I mean you write songs and you play in bands, do you ever build pedals because you have an idea for a song and you go, oh, you know what, maybe I would need that sort of sound? Is that
more
ever, something
so
ever
now,
that happens?
Yeah, there's some prototypes over there that are definitely something I was like, oh, I really want the ease of that, like, and the functionality, but I also am looking for a particular tone and sound. So okay. I think now that I have like a pretty steady line of pedals, I have the ability to like kind of branch out and do weirder stuff and experiment a little bit more away from, like, you know, people want standard things, they just want like a fuzz or whatever, but now I'm like, you know, the weirder stuff is more appealing to me, and I think that is what will also separate, you know, Midnight from other people as well, like the fact that there's weird stuff,
which is good,
available.
Weird stuff is good.
So yeah.
the more weird stuff, the better.
I mean, yeah, I'm a massive fan of like the momentary switch, like the feedback or crazy stuff.
I've recently gotten into that. Yeah,
yeah. It's I love it. So,
and these feedback loops that some pedals now have, for you push the button and everything just goes nuts.
One of my favorite things. Yep, it's crazy. I modded this, like the prototype of the Fuzz Edge, to have a feedback switch on it.
Okay.
So, and it's got like the pot on there as well, which when it, look, it does some crazy stuff. Like if you turn your volume down on your guitar, it just kind of goes in this sub harmonic, like it's just crazy feedback. So that for me was like, yeah, it's pretty fun live. Yeah, and then you can like kind of control the pitch. I like that. So yeah, weird stuff is fun. I think I get a lot of like enjoyment and a kick out of making things do stuff it wasn't intended to do.
Yeah. That's half the fun, I think, with things a lot of times.
You're like, that's weird. Yeah. I really like that. So yeah, look, probably more momentary stuff coming out.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
We should wind up soon. How many hours have we been going for?
12. Oh, hang on. 12. An hour, okay. Hour and 12. No, that's probably a good time. Yeah, a bit over an hour for the podcast.
Nice.
So, well, thank you for having us at your place.
No problem. And, thanks for having me.
Let people know where they can check out your...
Oh, yeah. So, midartamplification.com, I believe.
And Instagram now.
Oh, and Instagram.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And Facebook.
And Facebook.
We'll put all the links. We'll put.
Yeah.
Is there's a description thingy too, isn't there, on podcasts? We're new to this. So if there's a description thingy, probably, we'll put all the links in the description thingy.
I'm very, very new to this. Yeah. So.
Otherwise, Google's a good place to start.
Google.
Yeah.
I listen to lots of podcasts, but I never look at what it's. Maybe we'll put in Facebook and all that stuff. We'll put links. Sure. There's links everywhere for that we'll put up to Nick's stuff. So thank you for being our sort of guinea pig, one of the guinea pigs yet again. Cool. And
very nice.
Yeah, that's it for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.